Welcome to the show. I'm Shane Norton, a.k.a. The Sports Card Nobody, and this is another episode of the Sports Card Nobody podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, the times, they are a-changing. Much like Ron Burgundy, it feels like Panini had never heard that song, because holy crap, did they just get dealt another blow with news breaking today. Now, on this show, I don't actually talk too much about industry news. I touch on it, I dabble. Some of my earlier episodes, I did it a little bit more, but mostly I stick to the cards and the collections, and this is more of like an audio diary of my journey through this hobby. I talk a lot about the things I collect, a lot of the things I'm trying to do, a lot of my goals, a lot of my whatever. So things that I think relate to other collectors and it might help other people sort of shape the way they think about their own collections and think about their own journeys or, you know, whatever. However you might receive my content, I do this really just because I love it. And the things that I love most about this hobby surely are the cards and the collecting. But this is kind of big news. So this episode, I'm going to talk a little bit about my hobbiness and some of my personal things going on, a lot of craziness going on in the Nobody household. But nonetheless, while I was out at Lake Compounds here in Connecticut for a little work picnic, got to go out, bring the family, bring the wife and the kids. The whole thing's free, which is fantastic. My company does this every year. It's the annual picnic. We get to just go to an amusement park. For those that don't live in Connecticut, you might not have any clue what Lake Compounds is, but imagine a poor man's Six Flags or an even poorer man's Disneyland or something like that. It's an amusement park, got the roller coasters and the fried dough and all of those fun things and the carnival games that you can't possibly win, and you're constantly throwing the ball at the bucket and it bounces out when you're looking like an idiot in front of your 4-year-old daughter, who's wondering why you can't win her a toothless doll. It's incredible. It's amazing. It's a blast. We get to do this every year, and that's what we were doing today. The Nobody's packed up. We went out there. We were doing the water park stuff. We were doing the lazy river. It was a blast. It was amazing. It was fun. And while we were there, we stopped for a little bit of ice cream. That's right. I got some ice cream, which is pretty exciting for me right now, because for the last 4 months or 3 months, whatever it's been, I've been on a pretty aggressive, extreme diet/fitness journey, and I felt like I deserved a little bit of ice cream today and some fried dough and doing all that whole thing. I even had one beer. Can you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? I haven't been drinking much at all, and I had one beer, got a little bit tipsy off the one beer, and I called it quits after that. I am not in my 20s anymore. But yes, I was able to enjoy a little bit of ice cream. My daughter and I were sitting down eating said ice cream when I received a message from my group text from my buddy Tim Dave, who shared the screen grab of the breaking news. The NFLPA has terminated the final 3 years of its contract with Panini. Therefore, thereby, other terms, I don't know what that all means. Fanatics is now officially the exclusive maker of cards with the NFLPA license starting today, I guess. This is pretty wild because in the last couple of years, Panini seems to be taking all types of just left hooks and uppercuts and straight jabs and just getting beat up, losing every ounce of control that they have on the trading card market. And this is just another blow. I mean, we're just a week or two separated from lawsuits being filed, Panini suing Fanatics, claiming they're a monopoly. They're going to be bad for the hobby. They're going to be bad for the market. Fanatics countersuing Panini. All of this noise. It feels like we weren't too far off, maybe a couple months, where we thought there might have been a deal that Panini was going to agree to selling to Fanatics. Maybe they didn't get as much money as they thought they were getting. Therefore, they decided not to sell. Therefore, they decided to start swinging and fighting back, hopefully maybe trying to up their own value. I have no idea. I'm not a lawyer. I am a nobody. I use that term for a reason. It's sincere. It's genuine. I am a nobody. And unfortunately, don't have any connections in this hobby to come on and talk about this. I don't have any lawyers that can come on and talk about this. So all I can do is wildly speculate about what is going on. And so that's what I'm going to do for a couple more minutes, I should say. Yeah, I assume that Panini was attempting to either up their own value or just try to find some footing to continue producing cards into the future, past the 3 years that they had left on a lot of these contracts. I think that's about what they had left. I assume that's why they had sued, and I assume that's why Fanatics countersued, was to A, cut all of that off, and B, probably speed up the process in some form or fashion to seal their purchase of Panini, or, you know, lower their value. Maybe these lawsuits are meant specifically to damage the Panini name a little bit more so the value goes down so that they can buy at a cheaper price. I don't know. You tell me. Whoever out there is a lawyer or is not a nobody wants to come on and explain some of this to me a little bit more than my wild speculation, please drop me a line and come on out. But all of this back and forth led to today with the NFLPA, the National Football League Players Association, saying to Panini, hey, buddy, we're out. See ya. Had fun. Enjoyed all the products we've been making since like 2012 or whatever it was. But deuces. And they're out. I have no idea how that's legal. I imagine if they had some sort of exclusive contract that there's, I don't know, maybe there's out clauses, maybe there's a fee the NFLPA had to pay to break that contract. I really have zero clue how it's legal. I have no idea how they could pull this off. I don't know what they talked about with Panini. Maybe if there are fees involved, or I'm sorry, with Fanatics, but maybe there are, if there are fees involved, Fanatics just said, hey, listen, we're going to foot the bill. Don't worry about it. Because the Fanatics contract that they signed is pretty interesting when this was supposed to happen in 3 years, where with the NFLPA, with the MLBPA, with the NBAPA, with all of these players associations, they actually had deals in place that would start giving the players and these associations a piece of the money, a piece of the revenue, a piece of the profits. That was something that appeared to be somewhat revolutionary and is seemingly a big reason these players associations opted to go this way. They made these deals sort of in the cover of darkness. It came out of nowhere. Panini had no idea it was happening. I think other people who are not nobodies in this hobby had some inkling that these things were going down when they went down. I think my buddy Adam Gelman had somewhat broken some of that news before it really broke. But a lot of that happened under the cover of darkness. It did not seem like Panini had a chance to make any counter offers. It did not seem like Panini had any shot at really doing anything to try to keep themselves in the game. Fanatics just came in, swooped up Tops, bought them eventually because of all this. They took after getting all these licenses. It's pretty wild. You know, I know that, well, my understanding is part of the lawsuit that Panini filed against Fanatics with the whole monopolistic take on it is sort of the unethical means in which business gets done. I mean, that's the real problem with these lawsuits when you're talking about monopolies. It's not illegal to have a monopoly. It's illegal to basically be an evil corporation, I guess is my understanding of it. You're not allowed to crush the competition in unethical ways. You're not allowed to prevent anybody else from coming into the market. You're not allowed to, you know, backdoor all of the competition. You can be a monopoly. You can be the only gig in town. You just can't use your massive boot to stomp out anything that rises up, and you can't just keep buying every single one of your competitors up, giving them no chance to actually be a business. So I don't know where all this falls. Does this actually help Panini's case? Does this, you know, just Fanatics coming in and somehow convincing a party that has a contract with another party to abandon said contract? Does that not become an underhanded, backdoor, unethical tactic? Does Panini now get to use this when they go into their court and make their case and say, hey, look at this. How did this happen? You know, how can Fanatics be getting away with this? How can they be allowed to do this? This is definitely a monopoly. How is this not a monopoly at this point? We're barely keeping our foot in the game, and before the contracts are even up with the people that we have made these agreements with and have been working with for years, suddenly abandoning ship. I have no idea. It was pretty unreal to me when I read the news. I wasn't sure if it was real. Ladies and gentlemen, anytime somebody sends you a screen grab, first thing you need to do is just hit the internet and see if there's any validity to it. Well, this one, there appears to be a lot of validity. We're seeing all of the major content creators out there start to talk about it, asking their fans, what do you think about this? We're seeing it all over Reddit. Darren Rovell was the one who seemed to break the news and confirm it. He's obviously not a nobody like me. He's got connections. He's well known. And it all appears to be legitimate. This is going down. The NFLPA is out. So what does that mean? I don't know. I really have no idea. I know that football preseason is, 2 weeks in? So we're just a few weeks out from the actual football season started. I'm getting ready for my fantasy football draft. That's coming up in a week from now. When are your fantasy drafts going down? I know we try to push ours as close to the regular season as possible. I think we're about 2 weeks out. We're about 2 weeks out from actual football taking place. Now, listen, it's rare that these products come out on time or even close to when the start of the season is. So, but I mean, the fall, sort of schedule is coming. You know, Panini should be dropping product soon. We should be getting product for this year and the next couple of months here. All that's out the window now. Sorry, Panini. Hope you didn't produce anything. Hope whatever you already printed, throw it right in the trash. Some of those things, if they did print anything that they now can't release, I don't know how that works. I have no idea. But there's actually an interesting avenue here where Panini already printed some stuff and they can't even release it now. And that's going to end up in somebody's hands, right? There's going to be some collectibles out there. You know, the unreleased Prism or the unreleased Flawless or whatever it might be. Somehow making its way, leaking out into the world one day and becoming the most valuable product out there. I don't know. Wildly speculating, like I said. But basically as of today, though, they cannot produce any product. They cannot put any product out. So does that mean instead of getting Prism, Contenders, Optic, all of these brands, are we now going to get Topps Chrome? Are we going to get Triple Threads? Are we going to get Finest? Are we finally getting these products back for the NFL? That would be pretty cool. Because what I haven't seen, though, is my understanding of how all of this works is you need two contracts out there. You need one with the Players Association, which Panini had. You also need one with the NFL, which, as far as I'm aware, Panini had. The NFL is why you get to, having that license is how you get to produce the NFL cards. The NFLPA is why you get to produce the cards with the logos and the players and all of that. Panini only had one of the licenses for baseball. So you would get a Clayton Kershaw card, but he would be playing for, quote, Los Angeles and not the Dodgers. He would be playing, or there would be no logos. It'd all be airbrushed, photoshopped out of the photos. So Clayton Kershaw would be in his Dodger blue uniform, but it wouldn't say anything relating to the actual sport because they didn't have that aspect of the contracts. They didn't have that aspect of the license. All they had, I believe, in that case is the MLBPA license, so they could produce the players, but they didn't have the MLB license, so they couldn't produce any of the trademarks that come with actual baseball. So in this instance, if Topps makes something, do they have the NFL license, or are we just going to get a Tom Brady, or I guess it wouldn't be Tom Brady, right? That's he's retired, but are we going to get a Brock Purdy card, but without a San Francisco logo? I don't know how this is going to shake out. I have no idea. But we're going to find out, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to find out. I'm sure that Panini's going to fire back with another lawsuit or again, possibly using this for the lawsuit they already have. I'm sure there's going to be noise being made. But the end game, I am still 100% convinced, as I have been since this whole, controversy of all these exclusive licenses started 2 years ago, whatever it was. I'm convinced that the only end game here is that Fanatics ends up owning Panini, or at least owning Panini America, really, to have all of the brand names that are so powerful in the sport. I do believe we are going to end up in a world where Panini Prism sits right alongside Topps Chrome with all of the licenses. We're going to see Topps Chrome Baseball and Panini Prism Baseball. We're going to see Topps Chrome Football, and we're going to see Panini Prism Football. And the same thing with the NBA, and likely the same thing with the WWE license, which we know had already announced that they're going to be going back to Fanatics whenever their deal is up. There's no chance. There's no chance that Panini America is going to continue to exist. And why wouldn't they sell and get whatever money they can out of it? They've seemingly lost the game. They've taken enough blows. I think they're going down for the 10 count. It's whether or not they just toss in the towel and save whatever lumps they can. It's the only outcome. I can't see how this shakes out anyway. But again, I'm a nobody. I'm an idiot. I have zero clue what I'm talking about. But what do you all think? I'd be really curious what the consensus is out there about something like this going down. I'm really excited. I don't know now. I wish I was having a faction episode coming up with the cousins, something like that. It'd be fun to go on and pontificate and bounce ideas off other people. But here I am just word vomiting out my thoughts, because this all just broke today and kind of broke the idea of what I was going to do for my show today. But anyway, that's huge news. Can't wait to see what follows. But the back and forth here has been, it's been juicy. It's been juicy. Lawsuits and business and something. I don't know. We get the cards in, we get the drama. Give it to me. We need a reality show behind the scenes. That's what I want. Can we get one of these, like, you know, these law TV shows about this? That'd be fun. Anyway, moving on. Why don't we talk more about me? Because I love me some me. Shout out to T.O. I met him once, by the way. Anyway, what else has been going on? So I didn't have an episode last week, and I'm likely not going to have an episode next week as well. That's why it was very important to me, even with the big Lake Compounds day and with the big amusement park day, I really wanted to sit down in front of this mic and spit out my words for a half hour or so, because I hinted at this in my episode I did, the last faction episode with the cousins. But there's some things going on in the nobody household. There's some things going on back here that I can't really talk about yet. Let's just make a little bit of a teaser. My sister-in-law has a really big opportunity, and I am working very hard to do whatever I can to make that opportunity succeed. That's really all I can say. I can tell you that she has been blowing up over the last couple of years. What she's been doing with her art is incredible. I just implore you to go check her out at sugarfox_art on Instagram. She is the one who created the WWE Undisputed Championship out of trash that we gave away at the main event, the wrestling event at the National this year. It was awesome. It was a huge hit. People just loved what she was able to create. She does this for a living. She doesn't typically make, wrestling championships. She typically makes animals, bears and turtles and octopuses. Fun fact, both those are correct, by the way. The plural of octopus can be octopi or octopuses. So there you go. Anglerfish. She has a really awesome anglerfish, I think named Lilith, in her studio right now. She also has a really fun fact about anglerfish. I'm not going to go on about it here, but you should look up why there are no male anglerfish. Google that, and sorry about that. Enjoy it. But anyway, she's been blowing up, and I am working hard to try to, like I said, try to make this current project a success. It is taking up a lot of my time. I will be fully engulfed in this next week, so I will likely not have an episode unless I can record the day before or something. But I got a big weekend because that Saturday I'm going up to Boston, shipping up to Boston. Whoa. Because the Dodgers are coming to town. I get to see the Dodgers play the Red Sox. Super pumped for that. The Dodgers are red hot. Mookie Betts is right up there in the MVP conversation. There's a lot of idiot fans out there who don't realize it, but Mookie Betts is right there with Ronald Acuna for who should win the MVP. I guess if I have to be honest right now, even I would probably lean Ronald Acuna. There we go. Acuna. I would lean that way myself. But Mookie Betts is right there, and if he keeps staying as hot as he is right now, he can easily overtake that race. It's really 1A and 1B, and I'll give the A to the Bravos for now. But holy crap, I get to watch Mookie Betts live. I haven't seen them play live in a couple years since I left LA. This is really exciting, so I'm doing that on Saturday. On Sunday, we've got All In, AEW All In, the biggest wrestling event in history. Can you believe that? AEW, five-year-old company, has all but sold out Wembley Stadium. I think they're up over 82,000, I think, that will be out there. It is insane. That crowd is going to be, oh, man, that is going to be in an atmosphere that it's going to be hard to just, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. I cannot wait for this show. And, oh, by the way, that is the same day of my fantasy draft, which I get really stupidly into. So that's happening. I'm going to have a whole bunch of people over this nobody household. And then the next day is the big event for my sister-in-law. So I got a little bit of a packed weekend. You're going to have to excuse my inconsistency. Once again, I've been pretty inconsistent on this show for a while now for all different reasons. But, you know, it is what it is. So a lot going on in the nobody household. But before I let you go tonight, I want to talk a little bit more about my cards and my collecting and the things that have been going on over here. I had a post the other day, and I want to reiterate. Do not make, quote, hobby friends. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't let people make you think you're friends with them. Don't let people hit you up on Instagram. Don't let them follow you on Twitter. Forget Threads. I think that platform's already dead anyway. Just don't do it. They claim that they are, you know, there for you. These people will claim that they have an interest in you and the things that you collect. And you know what these snakes will do? They will slide into your DMs and share with you a card you didn't know you wanted to buy until that moment. And the next thing you know, you're making a negotiation with a complete stranger and sending money over some PayPal app. Not even sure if you're getting scammed, and you're not. No, you're just buying a card that you didn't know you were going to spend the money on because you didn't know it existed, because these people come out of nowhere, these friends. But for real, huge shout out to the Irish Flyer Collectors, the commish. You've probably seen him on the cousin stuff quite a bit. Genuinely a great dude. I have loved my conversations with him. But that's exactly what happened. About a week ago, out of nowhere, I get a screen grab of somebody's stories, Instagram stories, and they're selling a Brock Purdy card. I don't do the young quarterback thing. I've been so deeply entrenched in the wrestling world, I barely even look at the other sports that I so dearly love. I have somewhat lamented the fact that I have not really bought many Dodgers cards. I have almost no 49ers cards in my collection. I have two LeBron James cards in my collection, and that's it. So it felt like it was a perfect storm of, oh, let's remove some money from Shane's bank account. Because out of nowhere, I get the DM, I get the screen grab, I look at the card. It's a 2022 Contenders Optic rookie ticket orange, which I think is numbered to 50. Let me confirm that. Let me not lie to you. Here, you're going to hear me shuffle off to my... there we go. Yeah, it is numbered to 50. So it's orange, numbered to 50, Contenders Optic, 2022 Brock Purdy rookie ticket. This card is gorgeous. I love the soon-to-be defunct Panini Contenders Optic rookie ticket design. I think they're great. I've wanted to get one of these in my collection for a long time, but they're expensive. NFL cards in general are expensive, especially quarterbacks. They're just always out of my price range. In this particular instance, the card was much more affordable. Maybe this level of card typically is more affordable, and I just don't realize it. Maybe I'm always looking at the autos and the golds, and those are out of my price range. It just never seems to fall in my price range, and I'm never often drawn to the cards that are numbered to like this high. This is being a 50, right? But nonetheless, I saw the card. It's in a PSA 10 slab. If you squint, you know, if you get the light on it just right, the orange looks kind of gold. It's not too far off from scarlet and gold. It's in that family on the color wheel, right? What is that, a complementary color? I don't know. I don't know anything about colors. Anyway, if you really, you can jump through a couple of hoops and tell yourself this is almost a color match for the 49ers being the scarlet and gold. But no, it's a really pretty card. The person selling it was great. We had really good, we didn't even really have to negotiate much. I mean, the price was pretty fair. We chatted. We made the deal. I sent the money. Our friends and family did, and thankfully, I did not get scammed, so it all worked out. I am now the owner of my... this might be... It's actually the second young, unproven quarterback rookie card I've ever owned. I won a very low-end Justin Herbert raffle a couple years ago when I was doing that stuff, when I was doing the breaks and I was doing that. I entered a couple of raffles on Facebook, and I won that card, which I actually gave away to some kid at the National this year. But anyway, so this is really, but it's the first one I ever went somewhat after. I don't know. I mean, listen, guys, I'm a stupidly diehard 49ers fan. Some of my favorite and worst memories in sports revolves around the 49ers. The 49ers, the Dodgers, the Lakers, and wrestling. I am such a big fan of team sports. I'm stupid about it. I love fantasy football. Listen, if you're listening to this show, you can probably relate. You're not listening to a sports card show that you can relate, especially my show. I'm not on here doing the whole investing thing. You have no reason to listen to me if you're not a collector. You understand passions. You understand obsessions. You understand being dumb. So anyway, I'm a pretty stupidly diehard 49ers fan, and I loved what I saw out of Brock Purdy last year. He doesn't have the prettiest arm in the world in his rookie season. He was Mr. Irrelevant. He was the last pick in the draft. That narrative is awesome, but that narrative is also a little bit of a testament to the type of player that he is or was in college, right? You don't become the last pick in the draft, virtually undrafted, unless there's something missing. He was third on the depth chart. It was Garoppolo, it was Lance. Actually, it was Lance and then Garoppolo, and then it was Brock Purdy. The only reason the kid got on the field was because Lance got hurt, I think it was week two. Garoppolo got hurt, I think 3 weeks later, around week five, and then Brock Purdy came in, I think lost the first game and then didn't lose, or no, maybe he went 6-0. I don't remember the exact details, but the kid came in and won every game he played pretty much, including the playoffs, until he got into the NFC Championship game when, oh, by the way, in the first drive he got hurt and it changed everything. They were having a ton of defensive success against that vaunted Eagles offense. They were shutting them down. The only reason the Eagles scored in the first half was because of a phantom no catch that didn't get challenged. So whatever, that's on us. But what I don't need to cry about the NFC Championship game. But what I'm trying to say is I'm a Brock Purdy believer. I've been saying the entire offseason, if you're a 49ers fan, you got to ask the same question: who's it going to be, Trey Lance or Brock Purdy? Are you going to go get Kirk Cousins? Or you got Sam Darnold? Is it going to be Sam? It's not Sam Darnold. It's not Kirk Cousins. We're not going to get him. So Eric, stop talking to me about that. And I listen. I would love to see what Trey Lance can do. Unfortunately, we already saw what Brock Purdy can do, and it was awesome. And so the answer to me is simple. If Brock Purdy's healthy, he's the guy. He deserves it. He has earned it. He dragged this team to an NFC Championship game and got hurt on the first drive. We have to give the kid a chance because now listen, in training camp this year, there's been a lot of talk about him throwing interception after interception after interception in practice. What we saw out of Brock Purdy in college, what we saw out of Brock Purdy in the previous year's offseason, what we saw out of Brock Purdy in the preseason leading up into the season was not enough to get him on the field. The only reason, as I just said, the only reason he got onto the field was because of the injuries. And when he got onto the field, the team won games. So I'm not necessarily hanging my hat on what happens in practice or preseason games now. He didn't do enough last year to earn a spot above the third quarterback on the depth chart. But what he did on the field puts him where he should be, in my opinion. So I am very excited to see what he's going to do. All of that is to say, getting back to the card, I really wanted to have a Brock Purdy card. I really genuinely wanted to collect one. I wanted to have one on my shelf so that when the season's happening, I can go, oh my God, I have his card already. It's great. We're going to the Super Bowl. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I wanted to express my fandom. That's why I do this. The self-expression. I talk about this a lot. I talked about this at the main stage of the National this year. I spent my 5 minutes or so talking about why I collect and why I think most people collect is that act of self-expression. I love this thing. I want to shove it in your face. So here it is in cardboard form, this thing that I love. And I wanted to do that with Brock Purdy. The opportunity came out of nowhere. Again, huge shout out to the commish. Came out of nowhere. I had an opportunity and I went for it. So I am now the proud owner of this Contenders Optic rookie ticket for Brock Purdy. And I really hope it matters when it's all said and done. Because I did actually, when Jimmy Garoppolo first joined the 49ers, 5, 6 years ago, whatever that was, I went out and bought a 49ers Garoppolo card. It's the only quarterback I had, you know, at that time too. It wasn't a rookie card, so it was a lot easier to get. I think I spent like $40 to get that card. It was an autograph XR, I believe is what it was. Anyway, I had that card and it was cool. Stoked that I had it. Then Garoppolo proved to not be a great quarterback, and that card doesn't leave my desk drawer anymore. I'm hoping this doesn't happen with Brock Purdy. I'm hoping I can proudly display this moving forward. But that's the story of really, you know, again, don't make hobby friends. They don't have your best interest at heart. They only want you to spend your money on things that you love, and I don't know what kind of devil does that, but they're out there, and they're going to get you. Now, what does this mean for me moving forward? I have my first current player 49ers card, at least legitimately. You know what's funny? I did have a Nick Bosa rookie immaculate auto numbered to something. I think it was numbered 10, but don't quote me on that. I sold that one a while back, though. I think I'm going to regret selling that card. But it was kind of an ugly auto. It was a sticker auto. I didn't love the card. It was horizontal, but it was a nice card. So it was an RPA. It was a rookie patch auto. So I sold that Nick Bosa card when I was trying to raise funds towards my Bret Hart collection. So I might regret selling that nonetheless. It did help eventually lead to some monster Bret Hart cards. I mean, again, I'm looking over at my Prism Gold Bret Hart. I'm looking at Select Gold Ringside. I've got some awesome Bret Hart stuff. I am so proud of where that collection is. And sometimes you're going to have to, you know, give up, you know, one of your children for the betterment of another child, right? Is that how that works? I don't know. I'm a dad. I should probably not talk about giving away my kids. But anyway, so getting this Brock Purdy card has somewhat, I can feel it happening. If you're a collector too, you might have something similar. I know I can't help but think about Brett McGrath over at Stacking Slabs. Every time they got a new quarterback for the Colts, you know, for like 3 or 4 years prior, it was a huge kick for, who was the first one they got? I know it was Matt Ryan last year. Maybe that was 2 years. He went crazy buying Matt Ryan cards. The year before that, it was someone different. It's slipping my mind who. And I can start to feel that lever get pulled. Like somebody's hand is on it, and now it's down about a quarter. And it's going to hit halfway, and eventually that lever is just going to open up the levee, and the water is going to come rushing. I can feel it happening. I am starting to already change the eBay searches. I'm starting to look for 49ers cards. The season's here, and I can just feel that itch. Like, oh, my God, I want to have all the 49ers cards now, and it's not a good time to do that. You don't do that right before the season starts, you idiot. You know better than that. But it might happen. We'll see. I am ranting and raving like a lunatic, it feels like, on this episode here today. But it's where I'm at. It's where my head's at. And that's what this show is. This is me talking about my journey through the hobby. So anyway, that might be what's next for me. I might start, I don't want to say taking a hard left, but I might be taking a little bit of a turn down a scenic road in my hobby journey as I start to, you know, contemplate getting more 49ers cards on this shelf. I don't know. You got any 49ers cards you want to sell me? Hit me up. I don't know exactly what I'm after. I'd like a Fred Warner, another Nick Bosa, maybe more Prism, maybe more of these Contenders Optic tickets. I don't know. George Kittle's rookie card, his rookie ticket is very expensive. If somebody can get that for me for cheap, that'd be great. All right. I'm really starting to just drag the episode. I'm a little over 30 minutes here, and that's really all I got. Ladies and gentlemen, oh, it's so busy over here. I hope I can get something for your ears next week, but if I don't, I thank you for your patience, and I will get something out for your ears in 2 weeks. But nonetheless, I would love to hear what you think about the show. If you do have any 49ers cards you want to hit me up about, or you just want to yell at me about missing episodes, you can reach out to me. You can find me at SportsCardNobody on Instagram, at SportCardNobody on Twitter. I'm on Threads as well, but nobody's on there. It feels like that platform is finished before it ever got started. But you could hit me up there as well if you'd like, because why not? Also, if you are enjoying the show, I would love to hear about it. At your podcast hub of choice, you can leave a review. I would love 5 stars, 6 stars, 7-star FTR, whatever you think I'm worth. I would love to hear the feedback. But more than anything, if you are enjoying this, share this. Share this with friends. Share this with family. Share this with anybody you think wants to slide into my DMs and spend my money for me. Have a good night.